lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's stable land, by your grace that I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The Bible says in Psalm 118:24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, I hope today that you're rejoicing. I'm rejoicing not only because the Lord has made this day, but because you have joined with me today to look into the Word of God. Just now, if you have your Bible, and I pray that you're able to have your Bible open as we study the Word of God, that you're able to follow along, and I pray that you have a King James Bible, and that is the Word of God. Well, John chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased." Well, there are several kinds of people today who follow Jesus. We see those people every day, and we fit somewhere in the category of the kind of people who follow Jesus. First of all, I believe there are those people who are the bread seekers. These are the people, according to John 6:26, which says there in that verse, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Well, if you read this section of Scripture in John chapter 6, you'll find that Jesus fed the 5,000, and these people followed him. They didn't follow him because of the spiritual things that Jesus offered them. In other words, he said he was the bread of life, but they followed him not for those things that could lead them or take them to heaven, which Jesus was himself the way to heaven. Now, I'm not saying that all of these people simply followed Jesus for the bread, for the food. I'm saying that there were people there who followed him simply for the material things that he offered. They didn't follow him because of the spiritual things, some of these people. They followed him because they wanted their stomachs filled once again. And these people, their feigned hunger for the bread of life, according to John 6:35, was to secure the bread that perisheth. Their interest was strictly material. Their motives were wholly something that would satisfy them physically and not spiritually. A lady once said, "Well, I thought when we became members of the church, they would help us." Well, we see those people today in our midst, in our churches today, who simply come to church because they want something done for them physically. These people are bread seekers. They're not seeking after the Lord as their Savior. Now, I'm not passing judgment and saying that these people are not saved. I'm simply saying these people are looking for something for nothing. In other words, they're the ones who want the social gospel. They want something to make them feel good. And we're going to see that in just a few moments. Well, these people are bread seekers. And then we see those people who are glory seekers. In 3 John, verse 9, the Bible tells us about someone there, and John writing says this. He said, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Well, there are people that, once again, we're looking at certain individuals in the book of John here. These people are looking, are glory seekers. First, we see the bread seekers. Now we see the glory seekers. Diotrephes belonged to this classification, glory seekers. He was willing to work in the church if he could have the preeminence. This, of course, is true of many today. These people have a big shot complex. They are selfish and self-centered. They think the whole world revolves around them. I'm not sure you've seen people who want to be seen constantly by doing something either during a church service or they want to be recognized for the things that they do for the Lord. They want to be seen for their much doing for the Lord. These are those people who are glory seekers, such as Diotrephes. And according to the Word of God, these people need to learn humility. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be serving God in the church. We need to be serving God, but not to hold ourselves out as something that we are not, to have the glory, taking the glory away from the Lord. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, it says this, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then in Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, it says this, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Well, you have the bread seekers and you have the glory seekers. They were around in Jesus' day, and they are around in our day as well. And thirdly, I believe that we see those people who follow Jesus who are critical. In John chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, it says this, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Let me quickly add that Simon's son, this is not Simon Peter that it's speaking of here. Judas, it mentions Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. This is not Simon Peter that it's speaking of there. But verse 6 goes on to say this, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor." In other words, Judas Iscariot said he was complaining that it could have been used for something else that was more important. It says, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor." In other words, Judas said this, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then, and this is what the Bible says about Judas, he was a thief. Then Jesus said this, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Well, in Mark chapter 14 and verses 3 through 5, the Bible also says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her." Well, you have those folks around today, and once a person is critical, once that person has that critical spirit, it overflows into the people around. One person can cause others to have a critical spirit. These are those people who follow Jesus, those who are critical of anything and everything that is done for the Lord and for the work of the Lord. We've got to be careful with that. We need to pray daily, "Lord, help me. Help me not to have that critical spirit. Help me, Lord, to be one who brings joy and peace and love to those people around me, so that people can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, come to know you, Lord." Well, no matter how unfounded adverse criticism may be, there are always others who will join in and echo this. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, "One sinner destroyeth much good." Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19 says this, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. And listen now to this, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Well, please do not sow discord. We're told not to do. We're not to do that. Please follow Jesus for the right purpose and the right reason. Be the right kind of person. Well, I see the fourth type of individual or individuals that we see following Jesus are the fearful. Mark chapter 4, verses 36 through 41. It says this, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let me stop here just a moment and say, I know who he is. He's Jesus. He's God. That's who Jesus is. Well, people follow Jesus out of many reasons. Some follow him out of fear. Jesus said to the tempest-tossed, scared group, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? In Matthew chapter 8, and verse 26, it talks about that. And fear is the product of little faith. Our faith needs to be increased today. And how can it be increased? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Trust Jesus. Ask him into your heart. And then you grow in grace and faith and studying and reading the Word of God. Well, the next group of people are those people found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and verses 1 through 5. These are the sacrificial people. Here is one example of some people giving more than they were able. But this is very unusual with the people of Christ. And you know, that's hard to understand. But there are those people today who refuse to give to the cause of the Lord. These people gave out of not of their abundance, but out of their poverty. Well, I'm not speaking necessarily of money here. I'm speaking, first of all, that these people in 2 Corinthians that we read of in chapter 8 and verses 1 through 5, 2 Corinthians, they first gave of themselves. God wants you. He already has enough money. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The Christian life is a life of sacrifice. We should present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 talks about that. And finally, we see the faithful unto death who follow Jesus. Paul is one example. He entered the race to win. He embraced the faith even unto death. He said, I am now ready to be offered. I have kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Well, God has promised us to give us peace, and we need to be following him for the right reason. And might I say that if you've never trusted him, there's no greater life than knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Follow him. Follow Jesus Christ, and that means that you're going to give your life to him, and you're willing to turn from sin. You're willing to ask him to save you today because you know you're a sinner and you need salvation. And those of us who are saved, we need to be following Jesus to give him honor and glory and live by his word.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.